A trailblazer, a towering figure, someone who left Ireland a much better place than she found it. Those are among the tributes paid to journalist, author and campaigning feminist Nell McCafferty, whose death was announced this morning. For many, growing up in the Ireland of the 1970s and 80s, so important was her voice that she was known simply as Nell. She first came to public prominence in 1971 when she was on what became known as the Contraceptive Train. A group from the Irish Women's Liberation Movement travelled to Belfast, where it was possible to buy contraceptives.
The idea came up we should import contraceptives, break the taboo, break the ban. We decided to take a train to the north, get the contraceptives, bring them back. We were doing what was called International Media Day. So it would be a great opportunity for publicity. Very easy story for the international media to do woman, sex, Catholic Church, Catholic State. It was what they call a sexy story.
Right now we're going to split up into groups. Some people want to go to the family planning clinic. Some people who will then go on to the chemist shop.
People's minds change. It was like flipping an electric switch. Once it goes on, that light goes on in your head, it never goes off again. The people on the whole said, this is a good idea, this pill. We were the start of the biggest revolution of Ireland, separating church and state.
During the 1980s, she delivered standout coverage of the Kerry Babies Tribunal and in particular its public humiliation of Joanne Hayes. In 2015, she spoke to Alan Tourney on Drive Time about her memories of those months.
They were slavering in court. And the question asked was, by a prosecuting lawyer, did Joanne Hayes love this man who impregnated her, or did she just love what men were prepared to do with her? It was horrendous. And she was so sick on the stand that she had to be sedated. The judge ordered her to be sedated. We heard her out in the corridor retching and crying. She was brought in sedated, so heavily sedated, that her head kept bobbing off the microphone. And I blame myself here. I sometimes think, why didn't I stand up and say this is illegal? And I didn't. I was intimidated like everybody else. And the judge then advised Joanne's friends to bring her home to sleep in their house that night because he thought she was suicidal. That was the Kerry Babies case. And we all sat there stunned. And it has to be said that the country finally rose up in an uproar, led by Mary O'Rourke, saying no, no, no.
Nell McCafferty remembering the Kerry Babies Tribunal. With us are Pat Coyle, former journalist and friend of Nell McCafferty, and Alva Smith, feminist and LGBTQ and social activist. You're both very welcome. Pat, you're also from Derry. Will you tell us about the Nell McCafferty you knew?
Well, first of all, I was really intimidated by Nell because I'm 15 years younger than her. And so when I would have come to Dublin, Nell would have been here and everybody, you know, she'd have started the contraceptive train. She was doing her wonderful writing and all that. But I also knew of her from Derry because my sister went to school with her there in Derry and always used to say about how bright she was. She was, oh, Nell, very bright when she made her name down here. So when I actually met Nell in person, because people used to always say to me, oh, do you know Nell? Do you know Nell? And I didn't. But I said, well, I know of her. We only grew up the street, a couple of streets away. But when I did, which was at the Merryman Summer School in the 1980s, and we sort of joined together because Professor Johnny Murphy was giving a talk on Irish history. Well, I thought that's what it was, but it turned out to be a revisionist rant against Republican violence. And I was there looking, this is awful, you know, and feeling terrible. And Nell got up to speak and she spoke so wonderfully and spellbinding as she could only be. It was then I'd seen her in action live and I went over afterwards to talk to her, and that's how I started to get to know her. And she was very kind to me, I want to say that, very kind to me.
Alva, how did you come into contact with Nell?
Well, first of all, I just want to say that I feel very sad because I really do think we have lost one of our greats today. You know, she was a one-off. I mean, there was no one like Nell, and I don't think there could ever be another Nell. I got to know her, I suppose it was at the beginning of the 80s when I became involved in the women's movement. And although I was only 2 years younger than Nell, because I was like 10 years late coming into the movement, Nell decided that she would always call me Young Alva. So whenever I met her, even maybe, you know, a good few years ago, she'd say, "Ah, Young Alva," which was in a way very typical Nell. She was, as Pat said, a very kind woman and with great warmth, but she also knew how to assert her place in relation to you. Mm-hmm. And there was no doubt that Nell was the boss there. But I mean, I think what I really retain of Nell is that incredible power of her intelligence, her ability to cut through a situation of injustice, of oppression, of treating people disgracefully, and to take a large knife, cut right through it, and show just how disgraceful the situation was.
Yeah, it's interesting that you should say that, because I think for young women growing up in the 80s in particular, she was one of the first people to point out that all the politicians and all the senior Gardaí and all the authority figures didn't have to be men. I remember coming home from school and she would be on the radio. I think Pat Kenny was on at 5 in the evening, and she'd be doing her report from the Kerry Babies Tribunal. And I remember as a teenager just being blown away by her work.
Yeah. And when she did that, like, she, even with the Kerry baby, she pointed out then as well how many, it was all men that were at that, surrounding her when that inquiry was taking place. And I thought that was typical of, see also her honesty when she said there, I didn't do anything either. You know, I sat, that would be her. She would own something that she didn't do. And that honesty was scary because, like, Nell could turn it on you as well. There was times you didn't know what she was going to say to you. She kind of came left field at things.
Well, she did, but she was also, and she was also extremely direct and very honest and very clear. But, you know, I mean, I think that when she was really one of the leading firebrands. She was the firebrand, really, of the Irish Women's Liberation Movement. And when she came on board, so to speak, the patriarchy was, in, you know, totally unsafe. She pricked this bubble of pomposity and privilege and patriarchy. I'm amazed, in fact, it's still standing after our Nell, because she was so accurate, so specific, always so precise. And that was notwithstanding her very great empathy, because there was a tremendous vulnerability in Nell.
And she clearly had great empathy for Joanne Hayes, listening to that clip of her talking about that time. I mean, it clearly bothered her very much that she was looking at this, and they were all looking at this, and nobody had intervened.
I think that's a very good point. The way that I saw Nell doing her work, as I watched her then over the years, she would look, this is what I mean, she would see something that other people maybe didn't see. So, for example, in the North, she did a book about a woman called Peggy Deary, who was shot on Bloody Sunday. And it was Peggy Deary, an Irish family at war. Peggy Deary's own son was in the IRA, was blown up in a bomb, he was taken somewhere. She wrote up the story of her life, and in that, with the compassion and the particular way she saw things, and the really skillful way she could write, because she was a beautiful writer, you got the North.
Just before we go on, I want to play another clip, because I think it's important that we mention the fact that she could also be great crack. I mean, she was very, very entertaining. And we have, as I say, this clip. It's from Saturday View at the end of 1990, when they're reviewing the year. And she spoke to the late Rodney Rice about her reports from that year's World Cup.
I would find it difficult to tell you what offside means, but I mean, I know when the ball goes into net that a goal has been scored. No, what made it for me in Italy was the atmosphere of the fans and the atmosphere of being Irish and people recognising for the first time that we are Irish. Usually they think you're Icelandic or Holland or something when you say Irlandic. The surprise to me was 10,000 men behaving so perfectly. So well, so happily. It was an absolute pleasure to be among them. And if I had to pick a moment, it would be every night in Genoa, sitting in the fountains, a can of beer in one hand and a man in the other, singing ole, ole, ole. It was wonderful.
Didn't know your hands were that big, but anyway.
And she was such a good broadcaster that she actually won a Jacobs Award for those reports. Alva, there's a younger generation of feminists for whom she's perhaps a less familiar figure. How would you describe her importance to them?
Well, first of all, I would say to them that she is a great pleasure to be discovered because, of course, she is very witty. She can be very sardonic, but she's very funny. She was very funny, very witty. And as Pat said, she was a really great journalist and a great writer. And I think that they have a real treat. The Best of Nell is what I would start with, which is a collection of her, some of her really wonderful, wonderful pieces. And it, you know, it also shows you that great breadth of her interest and her capacity. She was a woman of many parts and many, many gifts and talents, not to be tampered with in the least. And I think that that is what those young girls and women would discover, that Nell was not, she was absolutely fearless. She was undaunted and dauntless. She ventured out there into the world because she was and felt herself to be a human being entitled to do what everybody else was entitled to do, whether they were men, women or whatever they were. And Nell was going to be out there with them. And if they weren't going to make room for her, she was going to push them aside and lead the forces that would overcome this patriarchy. So I say to all those girls of Ireland and those young women, read our Nell. You will not have a better time for what remains of the summer than reading The Best of Nell. I strongly recommend it. I just feel that we will miss her voice, that wonderful raspy voice. And you never knew, as Pat said, if it was going to come at you next.
Well, listen, those are lovely thoughts and lovely reminiscences. Thank you, reminiscences. Thank you both very much for joining us in studio this afternoon. Alva Smith there and Pat Coyle.